Good morning, Mayflower.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship. Glad you are here. And what better day could you be here on a day when the sun is shining through that and these beautiful stained glass windows? That's when they really shine. So, let us begin worship. A few announcements today. A few of you have indicated your thoughts about the possibility of joining Mayflower Church, and for the next two Sundays at noon, which will follow our coffee hour in the social hall, you'll be given opportunities to explore or to pursue membership. So if you'd like to just sit in on that and have no thoughts about whether you would or wouldn't, that's okay, folks. It's all right. We would welcome anyone, but we will have membership Sunday, which will be the same day as our congregational meeting, and that's on the 27th of May. So that'll be, how about that? I'm just looking at the beautiful weather today and think May is already here. We all know what a beautiful month May is in Michigan. How about January? Thanks for the correction. January the 27th. Sue Mott has an announcement.
In compliance with our bylaws and the state of Michigan, I hereby call the annual meeting of Mayflower Congregational Church to be January 27th at 12 noon. There will be a chili lunch provided prior to that time, and all are invited.
And Deanne McCormick has an announcement.
Good morning. This Wednesday is the 16th of January, and it is a very important day because at 10 o'clock in the morning, the women will gather again for our Bible study, our women's Bible study. We have been having an exciting study of women in the Bible, and it's been absolutely amazing, the insights that you have brought out of the scriptures and that we have come together to learn. This week we're going to be studying Leah. That is in Genesis 29th chapter through the 34th chapter. Here's a woman who was rejected by her husband. She was manipulated by her father. She probably had a pretty awful life in many ways. But she went on to do something really, really special. And you'll have to come on Wednesday to find out what that is. Okay? All right. So Wednesday, 10 o'clock. See you all, ladies.
So if we're a man and we can't come, how do we find the answer to that question, Deanna? Read the Bible? Is that one what I heard? All right. By the way, the membership class will meet in the library, which is at the west end of the social hall. So that's just a point of clarification. You'll see the baptismal font up here today. There are no scheduled baptisms today, but the font is here because today in the lectionary is Baptism Sunday. So you'll be hearing about that in the message. And each of you, whether you are a baptized Christian, a believer who has not yet been baptized, or a person considering baptism, or just appreciate the gift of water, the water of life that God gives to us, especially here in the state of Michigan, we'll give you an opportunity to come forward and just dip your hands in the water if you'd like. But that is totally optional. It's personal with each. So whatever your response is, doesn't matter, but you'll have that opportunity later in the service. Let us now continue in worship.
Good morning. Please join me in the call to worship. We have been marked as God's beloved children.
What is that marking?
The marking is baptism.
What if someone has not been baptized?
There is a continuing invitation that is given to everyone.
Who is doing the inviting?
Representing Christ, we offer that invitation to any who respond to his love.
Thanks
be to God.
Take my life.
now let's join together in our opening prayer. Lord of hope and light, we turn to you during the often depressing, dark days of winter. When we do, we see light as we celebrate the baptism of our Lord, and we are reminded that you have passed this wonderful gift to us as you have marked us for redemption and hope in the midst of our own darkness. Open our hearts to receive and walk into the light and away from darkness. We pray this in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. The Old Testament reading this morning is from Isaiah 43, 1 through 7. It's page 520 of the Old Testament. But now, thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in exchange for you. Because you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you, I give people in return for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from far away, and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Those who have ears to hear, let them hear. On page 96 in the New Testament of the Pew Bible, you will find today's second reading, Acts 8, 14 through 17. Now when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. The two went down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet, the Spirit had not come upon any of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Those who have ears to hear, let them hear.
I admit to you, when ministers get together sometimes, there's rather interesting congregation or conversation about our different congregations and the way we do things. And one subject that came out too long ago is, at what point in the service do you do the offering? And one minister retorted, he said, well, I keep it flexible because, he said, if it's a really good sermon, I want to have it afterwards. But we know that offering to the Lord is not based on performance. It's not based on anything that we manipulate. It is an offering to God. It's also faithful support by so many for the continuing work of the congregation. Having said that, we want to make sure that visitors are never expected to put anything in the offering plate. And people do it at different times in different ways. And in worship, the giving of ourselves is the most important act we do in worship. And we are also reminded in Scripture, and this is from the Old Testament in Deuteronomy, all shall give as they are able, according to the blessing of the Lord your God that he has given you. We'll ask the ushers to come forward and receive the offering. Keep running out of superlatives. That spoke for itself, did it not? The doxology is what we sing. Would you please stand, those that can? Please be seated. It's time for the pastoral prayer. Just be reminded that we use debts and debtors when we finish with the Lord's Prayer. Also, we'll have an opportunity as we pause for anyone to mention the first name of someone that is on your heart and mind. You can do that verbally. We'll give you that opportunity as we do here at Mayflower. Let's pray. Gracious God and loving Lord, we do not have to look very far around the world to see where we need to pray for peace. Because in our own country, there seems to be anything but peace in working out details of legislation whereby people can get back to work, where anxieties can lessen. So, Lord, we pray boldly and we pray confidently that somehow, some way, as we pray, as your people remain faithful to bring about peace and kindness and compassion, even with whom we disagree, may there be peace. May there be peace in our own hearts, Lord, and we need to open our hearts for that to happen. So continuing in worship, we pray that you would bring an openness of heart and openness of spirit as we seek, as we share, and also as we pray for those that are on our hearts. Lord, there are many people in our own lives, in our families, in our neighborhood, in our extended families, in our community, and others near to our hearts who are far away that need our prayers and need our support. And so as we mention these names in prayer, Lord, help us to know that part of the answer, if not all, is our willingness to be instruments of peace and love and care and compassion in and into the lives of others. May it also be so in our congregation, where love and compassion and grace rule the day. May the peace of God rule in our hearts as we pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you.
On page 46 in the New Testament of the Pew Bible, you will find today's gospel reading from Luke 3, verses 15 through 17 and 21 through 22. As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased."
Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, illuminate our minds and open our hearts by the work of your Holy Spirit. In Christ's name, amen. Just a personal note to begin the service today. I thank you for the time away that I spent in Florida last week. We did have a couple of 80-degree days. I got a lot of work done, I will tell you that, in exchange for the snowmobiling trip that didn't work out because of the lack of snow. When I was down there on Tuesday, someone in this congregation emailed me and said, "Did you see that they got a foot of snow in the UP?" I said, "Well, I didn't want to hear that, but I knew." If you didn't know, the person who was laughing was the person that sent the email, and her name is Lorraine. So I told her in the text or the email, whatever it was, that I felt I was in the right place, did a lot of work, and so there was a little money that flowed in instead of flowed out, and that was a good thing. My wife was celebrating that. It would almost be that we could hold church in Florida. We have a number of people that are in Florida from our congregation. The Grahams are down there right now, and we have a family that winters in Florida, Terry and Gwen, and let's see, somebody else is down there. Well, I think Carlene told me that, who else is down? Who's that again? Oh, Arizona, yes, we have folks in Arizona. Well, they're having a good time, but it's great to spend the winter in Michigan, especially when there's not a foot of snow that you have to traverse to get to church. So with that, it is good to see all of you today, and it's good for me to be back. I did see 6 alligators in the wild this week. We went to a preserve. I just had to tell you that. I didn't get out of the car. I stayed in the car. My wife would have expected me to get out and try to get close to one. I didn't do that. Well, if you've been here any part of the 17 or 18 months that I have served as your pastor, you might know by now that I am not a big proponent of preaching sermon series. That explains why I have not emphasized the quote-unquote mini-series that I'm preaching on this month, because I probably haven't even mentioned it. But for what it's worth, the lectionary makes it easy for me to title the collection of my sermons this month in January, not May, as Christmas Gifts Which Last. Have you making use of a Christmas gift today that you received at Christmas? Perhaps you are, but how easy it is to forget the gifts, materially speaking, that come at Christmas. But nonetheless, each week this month, the title of my message will include the word gift. Last week, it began with the gift of divine revelation, whereby we discovered that God can be revealed in many ways, sometimes in ways that we might think unusual or unorthodox. The Magi, in that story we read from the Gospel of Matthew, were led to Christ by simply making careful observation of the handiwork of God, even in the arrangement and noticeable patterns of the stars. And we listed some facts about constellations that people knew a long time ago. These constellations were not recently invented, even if they were more recently named. They looked up, they discovered, and they experienced God. The revelation they experienced was God's gracious love that came to the world in human form. God with us. That's what the word Emmanuel means. We concluded last week's service with Holy Communion, one of the two sacraments that we Protestants generally agree on and observe. There are some exceptions. And so you'll bear with me as if part of this sermon is a little bit teaching and understanding. Some say there are no sacraments. Others say there is only one, and some use the word ordinance rather than sacrament. Some of that hair splitting I don't think is all that important. Nonetheless, it's good to know. There is at least one Protestant group that has three ordinances, which would include communion, baptism, and foot washing. And some of you were in the service last Lent when we had a foot washing service here. Some of you remember that? As Congregationalists, we don't like to emphasize differences within the Christian community. But for the purpose of understanding, it is important to note that the Roman Catholic Church has seven sacraments. You know what they are? Well, whether you do or not, here they are. Baptism, Confirmation, the Eucharist, penance, extreme unction, holy order, and matrimony. Again, not to emphasize difference, but to aid our understanding, there are differences as to the nature of the communal elements. Generally, Roman Catholics consider them a cause of grace. Anglicans and Lutherans believe they are a means of grace. And we Congregationalists at this point are looped in with the Baptists and many independent churches that believe the ordinances or sacraments are a symbol of grace. It is important also to note the one point of agreement in all of this confusion, and it is God's grace. That's what, more than anything else in this list, unites the entire body of Christ. And of course, we know that God's grace is unmerited favor of God. It is then very important for me to give a disclaimer, which comes from me as the pastor of the Mayflower Congregational Church. And this next sentence is probably the most important sentence in this sermon. There is no ordinance, no sacrament, no creed, no membership right, no ritual, no form of worship, no denominational affiliation, no attendance requirement, no circumstance, no economic condition, no belief, no political affiliation, or not anything else which will separate or exclude you and me from the absolute, unconditional love and grace of God. Period. You are loved. I am loved. And the very fact that you and I are here today, uniquely assembled each week, means that upon our acceptance, we are a part of God's family. Having said all that, today is Baptism Sunday, as we follow what is known as the lectionary. So the simple title today's message is The Gift of Baptism. And while there are differences as to the methods and age requirements for baptism, millions of other Christians around the world will be observing the very same thing that we are today. For what it's worth, we Congregationalists fully accept the right and privilege of infant baptism because we believe that a child has been placed in a home and or a church where the grace and love of God is experienced, acknowledged, and practiced. Certainly, when a child reaches an age where understanding can take hold, there are spiritual decisions which must be made on each one's own behalf. And as to the method, there are those that may require complete immersion. I suppose that if we ask the question, we're not, in terms of the baptism that some of you have had, I would guess that there are at least a few here today that experience baptism by immersion. I've administered baptism by that method in a lake or two, and one time I was out on a raft with a wireless mic, and I preached a little sermon and then baptized several people in a congregation that I pastored many years ago in a beautiful lakeside home of one of the congregants. I've also had the privilege of performing baptisms in the Jordan River. Oh, I have to tell you, though, that there was a little bit of question mark in my mind because I think some of the people that volunteered on that trip had already been baptized. If you ever wondered where the Mennonite tradition comes from, they are called Anabaptists, and they were rebaptized. Well, this is not a total theology lesson, but since we recognize the symbolic nature of sacrament, we perform most baptisms right here in the sanctuary with a very simple font, with water placed on the forehead, which symbolizes the profound truths of our gospel and of our Lord. No one has indicated their desire to be baptized today, but I have placed a baptismal font in the front of our sanctuary that will give us an opportunity at the close of the service to remind ourselves of the significance of God's gracious gift of spiritual identity, just like Jesus did when we heard in the reading today. And I need to say this. If someone is here today and they have never really considered baptism before, you can do it spontaneously. I would be happy to baptize any person that responds to the love of Christ and the forgiveness of sins in a spontaneous act of baptism that I'm sure would be supported by this congregation. But it will also remind us that water is representative of God's gift of life. As most of you know, I live in a town about 54 miles. I know that because I know exactly how far it is in my commute that I make several times a week, 54 miles, and everyone I ever meet, whether I'm in Florida or California or the state of Washington, everyone has heard of Flint, Michigan, where clean water is now known to be infinitely precious as it was criminally taken away from residents, many of whom are poor and have no voice which can echo through the state house just 10 minutes away from here, or from where we are gathered right now, or through the halls of Congress, where it doesn't seem like any need of the people is being heard. Thank God for those who have advocated for basic human rights and have responded to the very basic Christian mandate to offer the gift of a cup of water to anyone who is thirsty. And we are then told that when we do it as unto God and for us in the name of Christ, we do it unto eternity. So while baptism is a symbol, it is also identity. The question is often asked in these passages of Scripture where the baptism of Jesus took place, why was it that Jesus needed to be baptized? Have you ever thought about that? Well, I certainly can't answer that completely. It would take long theological understanding, and all of it, I can't tell you I have. But the answer I give could be improved upon theologically, but I believe God has given the gift of baptism to us through Christ, who is God's clear, unmistakable, and complete identity and witness with humankind. Christ completely identifies with our humanity, which includes all of our temptations. And while this may be oversimplified theologically, Jesus was symbolically cleansed of sin by the washing of water. But it was not his sin, it was ours. Thanks be to God. Baptism has the element of mystery and intrigue. Each of the three synoptic gospels, and when I mention synoptic, the three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, that tend to have material that is alike, slightly different renderings of the same stories with some exceptions. These three gospels present this each a little differently. And the Gospel of John only mentions it later in his gospel. Mark is the only gospel which does not include the inherent sense of embarrassment as to why Jesus needed to be baptized. John mentions the fact that he felt unworthy to baptize the one for whom he was preaching about. In Matthew, the emphasis is that Jesus came to fulfill all righteousness. So those who followed John the Baptist were not his followers unless they became followers of Jesus. Luke's account is quite unique in several respects. It occurs after the recording of John the Baptist being in prison, which certainly raises chronological issues. How could you perform a baptism while he was in prison? John is not mentioned by name, but the baptism itself not being specifically mentioned either. Well, in Luke, we have some elements that have come through today that include the element of prayer, and the peculiar recording of the Spirit descending in bodily form as a dove. Have you ever seen a bird that looks like a human being? Only perhaps in imagination or make-believe. And Luke does not explain why Jesus was baptized or how he understands the significance of it. Some of the mysteries can be unfolded through careful study and examination of other scripture. The related themes are the sonship of Jesus, his role in the establishment of the kingdom of God, repentance, the forgiveness of sins, and salvation. And the other mysterious element recorded by all three synoptic gospels is that voice that could be heard from heaven declaring God's beloved and the fact that God was well pleased with Jesus. So in addition to mystery, Luke particularly emphasizes the confrontational idea of testimony and witness of John the Baptist, who was not a Mr. Rogers type. If you've ever read the scriptures, it is confrontational in terms of confronting evil and oppression and all manner of injustice and the evil that can reside in our own hearts. Baptism calls all of us to repentance and repudiation of anything which impedes the coming of God's kingdom in this world or the next. And finally, and this is important, there is a confusion in the Christian world demonstrated by the reading from the book of Acts regarding the baptism of the Holy Spirit. A casual reading would suggest a separate meaning as to baptism in the Holy Spirit. Certainly, there is the element of fire as well as water. And we read that in the second chapter of Acts when God brought fire in the form of cloven tongues onto the gathered community, whereby they became amazing witnesses in the world. But suffice it to say that we are taught in the book of Acts and many of the epistles that in order to carry out the work of God, we need to be given the gifts of the Spirit, and all of those gifts are different according to our personalities, our backgrounds, our understanding. This baptism is one that is given to each of us as gifts of the Spirit, whereby these gifts are used collectively to the work of God. It's an amazing thing for a pastor to look out upon a congregation and think about the gifts of people that are all different. It's amazing for you that have been here many years to recognize that each pastor has a different kind of a gift. The pastor before me and the pastor before him had different gifts than I have. But all of these working together form the work and ministry of the church. And I want to tell you that there is far too much hair splitting over issues like this. The baptism of our Lord clearly indicates the Spirit at work. And as we are taught and mature in our faith and combine our gifts with others, the Spirit empowers Christ's church to bring about the peaceful kingdom of God. So I ask the question, do you feel the Spirit around here? Do you feel it in your life? Lots of questions with that. The simple answer for me is, I hope so. I feel it. You folks represent the Spirit of God to me every time, whether it's Sunday morning at a Saturday dinner or even in a PC or trustees meeting. The Spirit of God is at work. As a symbol of it, I'm going to give each of you in your own way to pass by the font if you'd like and do one or all of the following. Renew your baptism. Consider baptism. Think about baptism. Or just think about how important water is to life here on the planet and why it is such an important image in the scriptures, even in the Old Testament, as Sue read today. In so doing, may we resolve both individually and together with the help of the Spirit of God through Christ to do amazing things here at Mayflower and around the world. Amen. So here are the instructions. They're not really instructions. They're just opportunity. If you'd like, for whatever reason, just to sit and think about these things in your pew, that is just fine. This is not a contest of anything. But as we sing the closing number that kind of links the idea of gathering at the water, in this case the river, both here and now in this world and in the world to come, you're free to come by and I will remove the lid and place it on the communion table. And you're welcome, if you'd like, to just dip in the water and place it wherever you'd like, or just keep it on your fingers. It's all up to you. I will give the choir that first opportunity. We'll need some people to remain for at least a little while and sing. And if there are others that come forward after all of the verses, Sue Jin will keep on playing. So remember your baptism. And remember the Spirit that descends like a dove even into and onto our congregation. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Nothing like a little curveball on Sunday mornings. Thank you, folks, for responding each in your own way, even in our hearts and minds. Receive this benediction. May the dove of the peace, the Holy Spirit, descend upon our congregation now and in our hearts always. Amen. You may be seated. Now it's time to greet, folks. There's plenty here to greet. You are dismissed.